Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday and time for Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm telling you, I can hardly wait to get in this because the glory of God is here. The healing power of God is here. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word and your presence in this place. Glory to God. Somebody was just healed of a broken ankle. God just healed that ankle right then in the name of Jesus. Eyes are being healed. All throughout this radio and television audience, eyes are being healed. Minds, worried, sick minds are being healed. Brain damage is being healed right now. Traumatic damage of the brain is being healed by the power of God right now. Oh, God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we praise you and we worship you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, let's get into this. Dr. Leaf, let's talk about in the book of Ephesians in the fourth chapter. We talked day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the fact that this is written to born again, spirit-filled believers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he says, put off that old man.
Yeah.
Put on the new man.
Yep.
And the renewing of your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But now you get down here, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, corrupt communication, you can go over to chapter 5, verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, or they don't
suited.
Fit the life.
They're not suitable.
No. They're unbecoming to the Lord Jesus. Mm. But rather the givings of thanks. Praise will replace this if you'll put it in your mouth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. That means you're going to have to do it.
Mm.
You have to put that away. Now, that's toxic thinking there.
That's toxic thinking.
That's what we've been talking about. That.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to get to. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, and remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, and both those words mean exactly the same thing. The anointed one, and that anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. We are the body of the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Now, note here, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for the sake of the anointing, has forgiven you. You're going to walk in that anointing. You're going to have to walk in forgiveness, and you're going to have to be tenderhearted.
Now, read that first verse of the next chapter.
And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love,
yes,
as the anointed one also has loved us. So, now and we've been talking about the thoughts that control the brain and the things that happen in the brain. Toxic thinking, destroying, causing chaos in the brain.
Yep.
Then on the other hand, being kind, forgiving, tenderhearted, now we've got something else going on in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your turn.
How many hours have we got?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, glory.
You know, what's so fascinating is when God tells us to forgive, as you know, the whole thing that you've just been reading and talking, He never tells us to do something that isn't going to actually benefit us. And every time you apply any of the principles, your brain just gets better. Your body just gets better. You know, when you worship God, when you speak in tongues, it just, it's neuroprotective. It protects against depression and anxiety. And so every time you do what God says, change happens in your brain for the better. They've done actual research studies where they've seen that. So living this kind of lifestyle that you've just read out is actually a lifestyle of worship. And so worship is not just raising your hands. Worship is also is communicating with God all day long. It's really applying these principles, being kind, et cetera, et cetera. So if we are doing that and we don't forgive someone, what we literally are doing is creating gift blockers in our brain. So we literally build, if you can imagine, like if there's a big storm and a tree falls down and across the runway, you can't take off with the plane. You can't drive in the road if there's it's blocked the flow of traffic. That's what we do with every time we don't operate according to the word. We are actually building gift blockers into our brain that block our ability to think clearly, and then we won't use the different parts of the brain like we should do. So unforgiveness is a very clear example of that. Now, to explain unforgiveness in the brain, I just want to tell you about another quantum physics principle, because quantum physics is an incredible way of understanding the spiritual nature of man, which is why over 100 years ago, it was squashed in favor of classical physics, because classical physics is very physical. It's what we can measure and see and feel and touch. Quantum physics looks more at the spiritual, the things that you can't explain. So it started explaining God. So the scientists were very scared of quantum physics. But quantum physics is very much back in vogue, and it's invading every field of science. And whether they like it or not, if you want to go to the next level, you have to use the principles of quantum physics, which is amazing. Because one of the main laws of quantum physics is called entanglement. We are all entangled in each other. Every particle is entangled in another particle. Everything affects everything else. And if you think of it, that what on a scientific level, what they'll do is they'll push two particles apart, very, very, very far apart, incredibly far apart. But if one spins this way, that one will spin that way, because they are entangled, they're connected. They call it spooky action at a distance. So there's this connection. Now, if you think of Colossians, I think it's 1:15, where it talks about we are in God, we're one in God. If you talk about the Ephesians 4:16, every part of the body has its... You know, there's so many scriptures in the Word that show us how we impact each other. Okay, so the law of entanglement is one of the main laws of quantum physics, and it's called the law of relationship. So here's a science taking this fancy word called entanglement and saying that it means relationship. And they say it's the most important feature of quantum physics is relationship. Now, God made us for relationship, so He's revealing that in the sciences. So now, if we take the concept of relationship and we track it back to the brain. Now here, let's say someone hurts us and they really were wrong and we really were right or whatever, and we have this trauma now in our brain. Let's say someone abused you, or you were trafficked or something. Now that's a trauma. It's involuntary. Sin is voluntary. Trauma is involuntary. No one asks to be traumatized. But unfortunately, it still makes a big mess in your brain, because it's an abnormal signal. It's a relationship gone wrong. It's not love. So it's created a signal of trauma in your brain. So your brain is traumatized. This is a little bit of brain damage inside of your brain that, if you don't deal with it, will manifest in mental ill health issues. So what is the first way of dealing with any kind of trauma? It is forgiveness. Because if we don't forgive, we actually keep this toxic thing of what those person or persons did to us. And because of entanglement, spooky action at a distance, they may be 10,000 miles away from you. But because you haven't closed the door, because you've actually, a curse without a cause won't alight, but a curse with a cause will alight. If you have held this, even if you are the victim and you talking, not letting this go and telling everyone about it and keeping it, you've actually got a direct connection to the person or persons who have actually harmed you. So if they think a bad thought about you, guess what? There's a direct line straight here, because in quantum physics, there's no present, past, and future. There's no space-time dimension. God is over and above space and time. He's over and above present, past, and future. And those laws apply in quantum physics. So we live in a world that works with time, and out of time. And in our physical nature, our mind has a time component and it has an out of time component. It has a space component where we are sitting next to each other and we can see each other, but it has an out of space component that if there's someone that's hurt any of us here, if we haven't forgiven them, it's as though they're sitting at the table with us. So if that person is thinking a bad thought towards you and you haven't forgiven them, or they say something bad about you or think something bad, guess what? It goes straight into the brain, and it actually, their poison is sowing more seed into your brain of toxicity and growing this thing even bigger than it was before. So when we forgive, and it's as though they're sitting right here shouting at you or swearing at you, whatever, when we forgive, we bring this from the non-conscious mind to the conscious mind, and we get this out of our head. So we literally cast our care upon God. So forgiving a person, that's what we're doing. We say, Lord, I forgive them. I want them out of my head. I want this out of my head. I've now taken it away. And I can throw it on the floor. It's gone away. I've closed that door. It doesn't matter what they say, what they do. A curse without a cause cannot alight. They cannot make it worse. So in other words, they out of your head. And in addition to that, it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:6, I will repay with retribution those who trouble you. So they're now in God's hands, and that's why
that's His business now.
That's His business. And then our business now is to pray for them, because as you said earlier on, when we pray for our enemies, which is what the Bible, what Jesus instructed us, we need to pray for your enemies.
That was what He had in mind all the time.
Yes, pray for
them. Let me handle this. You're not created, you're not equipped to handle this.
You're going to die with that in your head. So even if you are the raped, traumatized traffic, you have to forgive, get it out of your head, let the healing take place in your body, let the word heal your body, and then He will sort those people out. But He still expects us to pray for our enemies. So then we're still supposed to do what you said earlier on, pray that they will find Jesus, pray that they won't continue to do what they're doing in other circumstances. So we have a responsibility, once we have forgiven, to pray for our enemies, which changes the circumstances, because they've also shown with quantum physics that 30 seconds, now we know prayer works, but it's lovely to have the tangible evidence, and that's what science is. 30 seconds of prayer starts changing the atmosphere. So 30 seconds of prayer will start changing. The minute that we are praying, Lord, send someone in that evil person's life that will, whatever words the Holy Spirit, what must I pray? I don't want to pray for this person who traumatized me. What must I say? He'll give you words. And as you pray those words, you are changing the atmosphere. You are changing the environment, because God made it all. So when we take His word and we speak it, we know that there's a physical change in the atmosphere. And that's what they're actually using science to discover, that there's changes in the brain, there's changes in the atmosphere. Things change when we pray. Isn't that amazing?
It's so amazing.
I mean, I can pop with excitement when I talk about this stuff, because it's real. It's just tangible evidence. So when God calls us to pray and prompts us to pray in our spirit for someone, we must pray, because we may not see the evidence, but it's changing the environment.
Being kind one to another, tender-hearted, not hard-hearted.
Tender-hearted,
forgiving one another, even as God, for the sake of the anointing, has forgiven you. Mm-hmm. So, I'm telling you now, to live without the anointing is very expensive.
It's very expensive, and if you
deadly.
It's, if you read verse 14, 5:14, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And so that's Ephesians 5:14. Mm-hmm. "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." I've got the whatever version I've got here. So in other words,
Let's translate that. "Wherefore He saith, awake you that sleep and arise from the dead, and the anointing Jesus will give you light."
So when that's out of your head, you will now see a different thing. And I've worked a lot with trauma in Africa. I worked with kids that were abused, and for years, 20 years, I worked in the education system with the worst of the worst, children that were raped and would creep into the classroom bleeding, to sit there and listen to. I mean, I have seen and heard a lot of stories, and I have seen those kind of people, when they hear the light, when they forgive, they can hear. If you don't forgive, you can't hear. Christ will give you light. He gives you a revelation. I remember one young woman came up and spoke to me after a meeting, and she said, "Caroline, I was raped 100 times a day." She was trafficked. She was raped 100 times a day. First of all, when she came up to me, the light was shining out of her. This beautiful, beautiful young woman with just joy and peace. I mean, I just wanted to talk to her. She, you know, those people that they come up to and you just, mm-hmm. just look at me. You look so happy. And she then proceeded to tell me her story. And she said, I just wanted to share this with you because she had got hold of some of my tapes or teachings or whatever, and she'd heard about forgiveness. And she said it wasn't until she took that toxic thought out of her head of those traffic victims. Once she had done that, she said that's when the light of God came. That's when she was able to forgive and pray. She's now this beautiful young woman who laughs back together. She's married. She helps other people that are trafficked to work on forgiveness. It's the first step. It's a complete roadblock. It's a complete gift blocker if we don't start with forgiveness.
And there's no such thing as somebody you can't forgive.
No.
I heard the testimony of a woman that survived the Holocaust. She was a young girl, and she had been part of the experimentation that was going on those children by Dr. Mengele and that group of people.
Horrific.
And
she survived.
She got the revelation of forgiving them. Mm. And she was trying to get it over to the other victims, and then they got mad at her because she was forgiving. She went back to Auschwitz. She went back to the where the ovens were, and that she went back, and she was looking for different ones, and she finally found. She went back and went through all of that place, and she forgave everybody of everything, and then she finally found one of the officers that was still alive. And she forgave him.
Wow.
And it's just an amazing.
She had a revelation to get it out of her head.
She did. And that's what she was trying to tell the others. She said, I'm well. And she said, I was very sick.
Yeah.
And I am now well. Yeah. And she's trying to get them to
get it out
understand.
Of you see, we've got this distorted perception that if we forgive, no one's going to remember that bad thing. But God knows. He's got our back. He said it all along. We can't handle the ugly things that happen in this world. We're not designed for them. So if we keep them in our head, we kill ourselves. That's really what happens. We have to forgive to stay alive, to be able to handle things.
Well, here's the bottom line. Forgive if you have aught against any.
Yeah.
That's
if
it.
You
that's
have anything
the bottom line.
Against anybody, the Bible
let's
says.
Look, let's go over there and look at that. That's in the 11th chapter of Mark, where Jesus gave us the key processes to believing. Now, you know, Jesus said that this was true for anybody. He said, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, mm-hmm. you will receive.
You will receive it.
He that asks, receive. He that seeks, will find. He that mm-hmm. knocks, it'll be opened unto him. Well, now here he gives, have faith in God. Now, notice what he said in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them, and as glory of God dropped this in Gloria Copeland's heart so big and so strong that she just won't let anybody loose without getting hold of that. Believe you take it. Receive. Believe you take it. But that isn't where he stopped. Mm-hmm. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, mm-hmm. believe you receive, believe you take it, and you shall have it, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That's all part of the prayer.
Exactly.
You need to be praying that every time you pray.
Exactly. That's why we say, speak to this mountain. Here's the mountain. Cast it into the sea, but you have to forgive.
and it's you spoke, he said, whosoever, this is anybody, whosoever say unto that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass. He will have whatsoever things he says. Therefore, I say unto you, when you pray, believe you receive, and you will have, and when you stand praying, forgive.
So,
and it's all mind decisions. It's all think and choose.
Yeah, it's like God said, I'm placing this before you.
Choose it.
Now, you either do it or not. Mm. I'm not going to do it for you. I can't do it for you.
No.
But he's saying, if you'll do it, this will be the result.
It'll work, and then you're going to get good results.
This happened to me personally. I took hold of that, and years and years, and this is one of the first things Laura and I ever learned about faith was right there. Now, as we begin to live and develop that, I saw what I had to do.
Mm.
I had to make a prayer habit of that.
Mm. You had
because
to do
I'm under command here. Mm. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I'm commanded to forgive. I am commanded to love, and I am commanded to believe on the name of His Son, Jesus. This is not optional.
It's commands.
Mm. I'm commanded to do this. I'm following orders. Whether I feel like it or not, I don't have anything to do with it.
Right.
But it'll change your feelings because you're continually doing this. Now, over a period of years, Gloria and I have developed a prayer habit.
That's good.
We'll lay down at night and we'll say, Father, we read in Your Word where You give Your beloved sleep. And we take it. We receive Your gift of supernatural sleep, and we forgive if we have aught against any.
So good.
Now my brain's ready to sleep.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you're going to go to sleep churning through that stuff.
Oh,
and then it's going to
I remember those days.
And then you wake up the next morning and you wonder why you didn't actually sleep properly.
I'm thinking about, we're out of time, but I'm going to obey God here and do this. I remember it had to do with our television broadcast and some things and some things that some people were doing and just making it very difficult on us. And they had a track record of doing that. And I'm thinking, oh, no, not again. And I laid down at night and it just kept popping up into my mind, oh, man. And the Lord said, you better do what I told you to do.
Yeah.
Forgive me, sir. I forgive. And I called that person's name. And again, like we talked about earlier in the week, surrounded them with faith and love thoughts. And I said, I forgive. I refuse. It is not my will to hold anything against anybody, anytime, anywhere. Now, back when a United States senator actually attacked this ministry and five others. Gloria and I did that where he was concerned and held him up before the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't hold anything against him. He's not my enemy. My enemy is Satan. And but every time you have a thought, every time somebody says something about, no, surround him with that, with love.
Then he has to listen to love and not listen to the enemy, confuse the enemy.
And you just sleep like a baby. you'll go to sleep doing it.
So good.
If you don't, you're going to be there all night long.
Gonna be in
and the next morning, you wake up with the answer.
And you're refreshed.
We're out of time.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.